are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
Today's episode of The Majority Report is sponsored by Secrets, Crimes, and Audio Tape, an audio drama podcast told week after week. This week's audio drama, Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale takes place in a dystopian future where handmaids are assigned to bear children in a totalitarian theocracy that has overthrown the United States government. Really hard to imagine a totalitarian government theocracy taking over, at least until, Vice President Pence gets
there. It's a flight of imagination.
Yeah, it's total. I mean, could never happen here. Such a cool episode and podcast. Definitely worth checking out. Listen to the first couple of episodes today on Secrets, Crimes, and Audio Tape on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Wondery app on Android or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Whoa. On the program today, document contends Russia has Trump golden shower video, among other things.
I hope you ladies are hydrated.
FBI apparently saw it and maybe was issued a FISA warrant to track Trump advisors in October to see if they were having contact with Russian agents. Meanwhile, GOP supposedly begins ACA assault, according to Trump in a presser today, but they are highly confused. Repeal and replace. It looks like it's going to happen soon. Bill O'Reilly settled a different sexual harassment suit that had nothing to do with loofahs. Senator Franken exposes would-be AG Sessions as a liar. Meanwhile, top Carson aide settles his sexual harassment charge.
Wait a second. Stop touching me.
Tillerson on the hot seat today, and the Labor Secretary nominee hit with a new spousal abuse charge. Meanwhile, the Pentagon ordered to retain the CIA torture report, and Chelsea Manning on the short list for commutation. We may know as early as today. Supreme Court halts the North Carolina special election. Bad news there. And new ethic rules that were slid in by the Republicans essentially privatize congressional business. There's a Social Security and Medicare resolution. The inauguration to be sensual. All that and more on today's program. Folks, Donald Trump... I don't know what to tell you, folks. I'm, you know, like...
That is a direct quote.
Listen, I... Honestly.
We're going to have the most
also,
sensual...
Bobby Kennedy claimed yesterday that he was going to be the essentially czar of immunizations, and then the Trump administration said, no, that wasn't true. We will get to that story. I mean, honestly, I don't even know what to make of any of it. By any of it, I mean all of it. But here is Trump. He's giving a press conference right now. Let's go to this. So far, he has told us repeal and replace will happen within the next month, as soon as they have a Health and Human Services Secretary. We'll talk about the implications of that. They're going to build the wall, and then they're just going to, I guess, do it on layaway, where they're going to have Mexico reimburse us. And he's going to nominate a Supreme Court justice within the first 2 weeks, and also that he's a germaphobe. We'll play a clip of that, and so no one would ever have peed on him, maybe he had people pee on other people. I don't know. But let's go to the press conference. We're right there almost.
this doesn't have that kind of a megaphone. They can't speak back. It's a very sad thing. I've seen people destroyed. I've seen people absolutely destroyed. And I think it's very unfair. So all I can ask for is honest reporters. Yes.
The questions about the U.S. intelligence community and be very clear about what you're saying. Do you trust your U.S. intelligence officials? And what do you say to foreign policy experts who say you're actually weakening national security by waging this war of words against that community?
Intelligence agencies are vital and very, very important. We are going to be putting in, as you know, Mr. Pompeo and others, you know the senator, Dan Coats, we're going to be putting in some outstanding people. Within 90 days, they're going to be coming back to me with a major report on hacking.
A different report.
I want them to cover this situation.
That's going
to
say,
I also want them, however,
I never had anybody
cover,
pee
maybe
on me.
Most importantly, because we're hacked by everybody. You know, the United States,
CIA reports
our government,
read, like his doctor's,
out of a list of 17
physical from now on,
in terms of industries, is the worst. It's number 17 in terms of protection. If you look at the retail industry, if you look at the banking industry, various industries.
Nobody even pees in hotels when he's there. Never mind on
the category
of an industry.
People don't even use the
bathroom.
That's how intimidated people are by Mr. Trump.
Let's say hacking defense. Like we had a great hacking defense at the Republican National Committee. That's why we weren't hacked. By the way, we were told they were trying to hack us, but they weren't able to hack. And I think I get some credit because I told Reince, and Reince did a phenomenal job.
I would, you know, it's
said,
so interesting that he, because I know
defense.
He must have, because
Democratic
he very rarely
National
goes out of his way to ask
didn't
for
do
credit.
That. Maybe that's why the country runs so badly that way. But I will tell you, wait, let me finish. Within 90 days, we will be coming up with a major report on hacking defense. How do we stop this?
Folks, let me just also point out something that you should
because
get used to.
The United States,
when he says that we're going to do something within 90 days, Russia, that's basically China, the functional equivalent of someone not saying anything in terms of what you can rely on.
Go ahead.
Checks in the mail.
You said just now that you believe that Russia indeed was responsible for the hacking of the DNC and John Podesta's emails, etc.
Oh, right. But you know what? Could have been others also.
But why did you spend weeks undermining the U.S. intelligence community before simply getting the facts and then making a public statement?
Well, I think it's pretty sad when intelligence reports get leaked out to the press. I think it's pretty sad. First of all, it's illegal. You know, these are classified and certified meetings and reports. And I'll tell you what does happen. I have many meetings with intelligence, and every time I meet, people are reading about it. Somebody's leaking it out. So then I said, maybe it's my office. Maybe my office, because I have a lot of people, a lot of great people. Maybe it's them. And what I did is I said, I won't tell anybody. I'm going to have a meeting, and I won't tell anybody about my meeting.
Oh, my God.
With
this is
intelligence.
Rudimentary.
This is like the most.
Nobody knew, not even Rona, my executive assistant for years. She didn't know. I didn't tell her. Nobody knew.
Except for
the meeting was had. The meeting was over. They left. And immediately, the word got out that I had a meeting. So, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Did you watch any of Obama's speech last night?
It's very unfair to the country. What's
Jesus
happened?
Christ.
That report should have never.
It's like literally.
I made Myla sit down and watch this.
And a devolution in action.
That. I think.
I made Myla watch the Obama thing because
I will tell you,
I was just like,
never, ever happen.
Dude,
okay.
I don't want you to forget that we're not a country of morons.
Thank you, Mr. President-elect. Can you stand here today once and for all and say that no one connected to you or your campaign had any contact with Russia leading up to or during the presidential campaign? And if you indeed do believe that Russia was behind the hacking, what is your message to Vladimir Putin right now?
He shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it.
Bad boy.
Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I'm leading it than when other people have led it.
It's a good point.
Russia will respect our country more.
Stable mates don't spy.
I don't believe he'll be doing it.
The question about
now,
contacts is important.
We have to work something out, but it's not just Russia. Take a look at what's happened. You don't report it the same way. 22 million accounts were hacked in this country by China. And that's because we have no defense. That's because we're run by people that don't know what they're doing. Russia will have far greater respect for our country when I'm leading it. And I believe, and I hope, maybe it won't happen. It's possible. But I won't be given a little reset button like Hillary. Here, press this piece of plastic. Guy looked at her like, what is she doing?
What is there's he talking no reset about?
Button. She gave a Lavrov a button that said reset.
I hope we get along. But if we don't, that's reset. Possible too. But Russia
not her finest
and other
moment.
Countries, and other countries, including China, which has taken total advantage of us economically, totally advantage of us
didn't
in the South China Sea by building their massive fortress.
And he can't because Manafort total. Demonstrably did.
Russia,
right.
China, Japan,
also,
Mexico.
Just by his point, like if any of these reports are true to any degree,
more,
the consensus is that Putin
under past
not only detested Hillary, he in fact
so
feared
right,
her
here
foreign
he goes.
Policy.
All,
just so you understand. These papers, because I'm not sure that was explained.
I
properly,
hope somebody.
Hope these papers
he's mad.
Are all just a piece of the many, many companies that are being.
Okay. Well, I wonder if that's even true. He was.
Here's, I'll come back and I'll say, oh, you did a good job. Otherwise, if they do a bad job, I'll say, you're fired. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
Are you talking about the media? No, are they?
Who was that?
There's someone on MSNBC. Like, what the fuck is he talking about?
All right. All right. So let's just catch everybody up here. Yeah. I mean, I you know. So yesterday, story breaks. And I imagine most people know the basic contours of this. There was a document that was first commissioned by unnamed Republican campaigns. They hired a Oppo researcher, former MI6. This is what's been reported across various outlets. Former MI6 agent. This is the essentially the equivalent of, like, I guess the CIA in Britain. To develop a dossier. The dossier was developed over and contemporaneous, I guess, through the summer, outlining information that the Russians supposedly had on Donald Trump, among other things. Supposedly, this dossier was offered, I guess, to the Clinton campaign as well. At one point, it was traveling through media circles prior to the campaign. Subsequent to the campaign, John McCain got wind of it, sent a representative to Great Britain to pick up the document. The document came back to John McCain. He gave it to the FBI. It's unclear whether or not the CIA and the FBI had already secured that document. Also contemporaneous, and we found this out yesterday through the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. The FBI went to the FISA court to get phone taps on four unnamed advisors to John McCain. Apparently, they were rejected initially, which is pretty stunning, considering that the FISA court has only done that about 13 times over the past, like, several decades. Literally tens of thousands of requests it has rubber stamped. The FBI came back in October. It's unclear whether or not they were rejected again, but to the extent that we know anything about this, the report seemed to be that the implication is that they did receive a warrant. We'll hear from Comey on that in a bit. And apparently, the briefing that both Obama and Trump got over the past week was a 2-page document that included things from the 34-page document created by a private entity. We don't know much about this guy. It's completely unverified. But the 2-page document includes elements from that 34-page document that have been verified by the CIA, the FBI, et cetera, the 17 intelligence agencies, and includes other information. And so that's where we are at this point. I mean, the 34-page document, in my mind, reads like fan fiction. I mean, it is...
Fan of who?
Oh, did I say the FISA requests were for McCain aides? They were for Trump aides. The FISA requests for Trump aides that were supposedly making rendezvous with foreign nationals.
Says who? Says who?
Says who?
Says who?
So we don't know.
All right, look, I got a plane to catch, honey. I don't have time to talk about the candidates' rape allegations anymore.
Exactly.
I got business to take care of.
All right, so we'll get to my thoughts on that information in a moment.
I have thoughts as well.
And right-wing Mandela does too. And we'll obviously talk about one of the allegations is that Donald Trump in the presidential suite at the Waldorf Astoria in Russia.
The Ritz.
At the Ritz, sorry, in the presidential suite, believed that Obama and Michelle Obama had stayed there, and he was so angry at them that in some type of like sadistic sexual thing, like where he both was angry apparently at the bed, hired some...
You're fired, bed.
Russian sex workers to pee on him while he's lying on the bed.
Joey Nosock said, you know what a great fucking idea is? You get a bed.
Or he peed on them.
The Obama state here.
Hold on for 1 second. Now, this is unverified. However, supposedly the Russians have video of it. And supposedly it looks something like this. There you go. I mean, this is actual footage of President-elect Donald Trump's plane given a water salute as it takes off from New York to the White House for his meeting with President Obama.
Haters wanna hate, lovers wanna love.
Did they?
I don't want none of the above.
Did they? Who's ever heard of a water salute? But now I guess we understand where this idea came from.
That was weird at the time. Now it all makes sense.
Now it all makes sense. All right, here's some good news. When Bernie Sanders began his race for the presidency, it was considered by the political establishment and the media to be a fringe campaign, something not to be taken seriously. I think I remember talking about a phone call I got. Do you remember what the reporter was?
I don't remember.
It was someone from
name.
Politico. We got to go back up.
Yep,
and
it was Politico.
This was in spring of 2015. And the reporter was actually talking about something on Martin O'Malley. And he said to me, like, Martin O'Malley wants to know how he has to appeal to, you know, how he can beat out Elizabeth Warren for attention. I said, Elizabeth Warren? He's going to worry about Bernie Sanders. And the guy just laughed and laughed. Well, by the time Sanders' campaign came to a close, however, it was clear that Bernie had run one of the most consequential campaigns in modern history. The guy is still doing town halls. He's, I think, the most popular politician in the country at the moment. And although his campaign may be over for Bernie Sanders, the political revolution has just begun. Follow along as Bernie Sanders keeps the new administration in check and leads the way toward a progressive future in his new multi-month New York Times bestseller, Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. Washington Post says Sanders is spinning lessons about what really matters in life. Look, you don't need to hear about what other people say about this. The book is available in hardcover, ebook, and audio wherever books are sold. It's read by Bernie Sanders and Mark Ruffalo. And folks, buy the book. Buy the book. Go to OurRevolutionBook.com, hashtag read the burn. OurRevolutionBook.com. Go check it out. You want to help support Sanders and the revolution. You want to make sure that he maintains his position as the leader of the opposition make him another best-selling author.
Honestly, I read some of it over break, and it's actually a very good book. It's very well written.
I'm anxious to get on and have it on my phone, anxious to listen to it.
Meanwhile, tonight is Wednesday, and you know what night that, you know what that means for me? Blue Apron night. We get Blue Apron on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Somehow we get by with Monday and Tuesday. I would sort of maybe like do it 3 days a week, but we're... The beautiful thing about Blue Apron is that, A, you can cook with your kids. They can do some of the chopping or something like this. It's fun. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to let my four-year-old use a big knife. He's almost four. He's going to be four in 2 months. Three, four, whatever. The seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood. The beef is raised humanely. Chickens are free-range. Regenerative farming practices are used for produce. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for recipe. They're reducing food waste. And it's true. We have just enough left over that I will then have like 1.3 meals, which I know I shouldn't do. I'm trying to lose a weight. Some of the meals available in January, seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney. Have you ever had farro?
I have. It's delicious.
I don't think a lot of people have had farro.
Well, they got to expand great opportunity. Their, like their a, food adventure.
Like
their
a palate. Big rice pasta
yeah,
almost.
It's delicious.
Spaghetti squash and marinara with mushrooms and garlic knots. And this is the one I am so psyched about. Spicy shrimp, Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake. I don't even know what that is. We should probably look that up, but I'm going to get it soon, so I don't care. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/majority. Totally free, folks. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And folks, lastly, in this era where things are hard to picture, imagine a new world. We're putting on a new pair of underwear. Isn't just fresh. You're stepping into a better day.
Wow.
Think about it. Underwear is the first thing you put on. It's the last thing you take off. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely. Unless you're doing some type of bizarre commando thing, which there we don't want to do. It's a mess.
No, not in this cold. Why would you settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet? Me Undies focuses solely on producing the most comfortable underwear you've ever experienced. My friends at Me Undies sent me a few pairs a while back. I've talked about this. I don't get the fancy-dancy ones. I go with the low-key. That's just me. But they are incredibly comfortable. Mac, and he's been on Modal for a long time. For the price of two cocktails, MeUndies will deliver you your new favorite pair of underwear right to your doorstep. Better day guaranteed. Try them on. If they're not the most comfortable, best-feeling undies you've ever had, they'll refund you and let you keep your first pair for free, which is good news. It means you're not trying on the pair of underwear that somebody else has decided they didn't want. You get the sweet touch of Modal, which I know Matt's been on it for ages. Three times softer than cotton. These uber cozy undies are sold exclusively on the Me Undies website, while you'll enjoy free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. Go to MeUndies.com/majority. You get 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/majority. You got nothing to lose. There's a better day guarantee. You get to keep the pair if you don't like them. Go to MeUndies.com/majority right now. 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/majority. All right, let's get into, I want to get to the Sessions hearing yesterday. Tillerson his hearing is taking place today. The big one that I was interested in, Betsy DeVos, has been punted until next week. Presumably because she's got so many conflicts and she's such a horrible candidate. They've also got to teach her. They've also got to like coach her to say, I don't hate public schools.
Amway's not a pyramid scheme. It's an opportunity.
Of all the things yesterday that were completely off the wall, in many respects, this one was the most stunning to me. This Comey. So Comey and Clapper are at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. This is a long clip. We'll probably clip it up into two. And now look, here's Ron Wyden is doing the questioning. We've been down this road before. Remember when Ron Wyden was implying that there was something going on that people didn't know about, and it turned out to be a lot of those Pfizer revelations?
Well, even he basically lured Clapper into lying on the public record.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so these guys are privy to information that theoretically they can't reveal. They could go and read reports on the Senate floor and get protected. But I think to a certain extent that it causes a problem. They get maybe, I don't know what can happen after that. I don't know why they don't do that more often, but I guess it's a way of like making sure that they continue to get secret briefings. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Consequences of that.
I don't know what the consequences are, frankly, but they obviously feel them. So we get a lot of like stuff from Wyden where the way I express it is like, we see the shadows of this, right? There's the thing that's here and he shines a light on it. And what we see is the projection on the wall of that shadow. And it's not clear, but you get a sense of what he's talking about. And this is the way they send the messages. So listen to Wyden asking James Comey. Listen to this line of question.
And let me, if I might, begin with you, Mr. Comey. After the election, as you know, the Russian foreign minister was quoted in various news reports saying that the Russians had had contacts with people associated with the Trump campaign. Now, that may or may not be true. There is, however, extensive press reporting on the relationships between the Russians and the individuals associated with both the Trump campaign and the incoming administration. My question for you, Director Comey, is, has the FBI investigated these reported relationships? And if so, what are the agency's findings?
Thank you, Senator. I would never comment on investigations, whether we have one or not, in an open forum like this. So I really can't answer it more.
Okay, so there we have the director of the FBI lying to Congress when he says, I would never comment on an ongoing investigation like this. Seriously?
The only reason that know your name as a public figure is because of your constant public commentary and interference in public with an ongoing investigation.
You specifically said that even though we had closed an investigation, I've got to make it public to let you know that we are now finding emails that may or may not, we have no warrant yet,
we have no clue,
provide
but heads
more
up.
More evidence on a third-party computer to this investigation that we have supposedly closed. Are you effing kidding me? I can't believe Wyden just didn't get up and say, do you want to amend your statement? You don't mean never. You just mean right now. Or except for that one time before. But also, understand, Wyden knows the answer to this question, okay? And now we know it because of other reporting that came out that day about the FISA court. Clearly, if you're looking for a warrant to tap a phone, you're investigating them. Wyden is pushing this, and this is Wyden's building a narrative that's going to be bigger than this hearing. Let's put it that way.
Never comment on investigations, whether we have one or not, in an open forum like this. So I really can't answer it one way or another.
Will you provide an unclassified response to these questions and release it to the American people prior to January 20th?
I'm sorry, you said, will I?
Yes. Will you provide an unclassified response to the question I've asked? And as I've said, it's been reported widely. It's on the Reuters News Service, widely reported. Will you provide an unclassified response to the question I asked and release it to the American people prior to January 20?
Sir, I'll answer any question you ask, but the answer will likely be the same as I just gave you. I can't talk about it.
Well, I will tell you, I think the American people have a right to know this. And if there is delay in declassifying this information and relating it to the American people, releasing it to the American people, and it doesn't happen before January 20th, I'm not sure it's going to happen. And that's why I'm troubled, and I hope that you will make a declassified statement with respect to the questions I've asked public.
All right, pause it there. So understand what he's saying here. I know that you guys have found connections between Trump's campaign and the Russians. And on January 20th, you're going to have a new boss. And this is all going to be buried. And Wyden just wants to get on the record for it. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't go and read it, read the assessment on the Senate floor. Maybe he will. I doubt it.
I mean, this one, I doubt it too, but this obviously has a lot more political cover than what he was trying to expose before. I mean, he was an outlier trying to expose NSA.
Right.
This is a very politicized, partisan issue. They're synchronized.
All right. Let's. So Wyden now turns to a different tact.
Ask one other question, if I might. The report has a brief description of Russian cyber intrusions into state and local electoral boards. It reads, and I quote, DHS assesses that the types of systems we observed Russian actors targeting or compromising are not involved in vote tallying. My question to you, and I think I'd like to have you involved in this too, Director Clapper. Director Comey, Director Clapper, what systems, in your view, were compromised by the Russians, and what was the nature and extent of those compromises?
Yeah. There were intrusions and attempted intrusions at state-level voter registration databases. That is, not containing the voting mechanism, but who's registered to vote and the address and the particulars of that sort. What the purpose was of those intrusions is not clear to us at this point. And we saw no activity on Election Day that reflected that anyone had messed with those voter registration databases. But there's no doubt that the Russians attacked, intruded, and took data from some of those systems.
Director Clapper?
I think that's the response. I don't have anything to add to that.
And I hope you will also tell us in the days ahead, Director Comey, more about the nature of those systems, because it is very clear, given what you found and reported in the declassified version, that we're going to be dealing with these issues coming up. And I think we need to know more specifics. We can do it in a classified session about the nature of those systems. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, this part, this second part here, is interesting with these data files. Because, be clear, all they're claiming is that the Russians hacked into the data, the files of the voters. And what you can get from those, and I think those are publicly available or accessible, I believe. And it's unclear when it happened. So you wouldn't necessarily know if some of these people are looking for absentee ballots or what. Or I don't know if the implication is, by Wyden, as to whether or not they somehow there's information in there that is not accessible to campaigns, that this was information doesn't affect the voting. but it could be data that maybe could be used by a campaign. Right? I mean, we do know that, according to reporting, that the Trump campaign had this sort of amazing bet that they made about finding voters at the last minute in these, like, three swing states. Isolating which voters were the best voters for them to go and talk to. We also know that the Clinton campaign was off by about 20% on their get out the vote days in these same states. At least in Michigan and Pennsylvania, we have documented reports about it. This is complete conjecture on my part as to why a third party not associated with the, look, maybe it's possible that the FBI is making up a story that the Russians accessed the data files. That seems like a weird story to make up, but maybe it's some plan to demonize Russia. It's a weird one. It's not a terribly sexy one. But the only people that would have value, that information would have value to, would be a campaign. The fact that Wyden asks one question about contacts between Russians and one campaign's aides, and then follows up with this question about the voter data, I don't think that's a coincidence.
No.
I mean, maybe it is, but I don't think it is. Very fascinating stuff. And just one last thing, because then I want to go to Jeff Sessions. What's going to be interesting is, now that it's clear that John McCain was muling some of this Donald Trump stuff, okay, to the FBI, like literally sending an aide to go get it from, apparently from Britain, and giving it to the FBI. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands in all this. I mean, someone said to me yesterday, like, maybe John McCain is going to, make amends for how he was in the 2008 election, and he's going to revert back to the John McCain of old. And I was like, no. If he reverts back, it's going to be John McCain reverting back to what's best for John McCain.
Well,
and feeling like he's the guy. Somehow, there's no doubt in my mind that John McCain is going to try and put himself in the middle of whatever anything exists.
Well, and also John McCain of always is a guy who's basically driven by personal resentment and revenge. So that actually does bode well for him taking this seriously.
Yep.
Donald Trump embarrassed him. Donald Trump was an asshole to him. And he's an opportunity to humiliate Donald Trump. I mean, that is literally the entirety of at least since I've been aware of him, that's what John McCain does. So he probably will be pretty on this, but not because it's the John McCain of some imagined integrity that people are attached to.
Okay. Now let's turn to Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions yesterday went in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He sits in front of them today, I guess, as well, right? And I think we're going to hear from testimony today from Cory Booker, who's actually going to testify against him, which is...
running for president.
Which is him, a declaration for... But I like the way he's doing it. I mean, look.
Oh, of course.
Here's the thing. And here's where we are, folks. Cory Booker has, in my mind, a pretty bad record when it comes to cozying up to investment bankers, a pretty bad record when it comes to privatizing of education. He has distanced himself a little from that since getting into the Senate. I've always said, I don't care what's in the heart of politicians. I just care about what they are, what wind fills their sails. And so far, Cory Booker is, his sails are being filled by wind that I like. I like to see him go and say, F this supposed Senate comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y. Not only am I not going to defer to him because he's a Senate colleague, I'm going to testify against him because he is apparently a liar and probably still pretty much a racist or certainly against the idea of black people voting.
He's not, but this is what we went over yesterday. His personal attitude is all they have. Maybe on a personal level, he's evolved to the point where he doesn't think that black people are less than human or something. Irrelevant. His whole policy portfolio is anti-civil voting rights, period.
And his record, and it's not like his voting in the Senate has shown some type of big dramatic shift away from disenfranchising people to voting. I mean, give me a break. But I don't know. Just this exchange that we're going to see now with Jeff Sessions and Al Franken seems to me should disqualify Jeff Sessions right away. The guy has been lying to the committee. He is submitting false information to the committee. He's done so in terms of his involvement, as Franken's about to show, with civil rights cases. But he also has lied to the committee in terms of ethics, in terms of his relationship with oil companies. What's Jeff Sessions hiding? Well, I think we know. But, you know, come out from underneath the covers. Pull that sheet. What are you trying to do? Put a sheet over our eyes? But here is Al Franken just roasting. How long is this clip? It's a long clip, but Franken just pulls him apart here. This is awesome.
The questionnaire you submitted for today asks you to list and describe the, quote, 10 most significant litigated matters you personally handled. And among the cases
now, pause it for 1 second. Franken sets this up by saying, Senator Sessions, you've been a member of this committee. You've always said that people need to come here and give us the absolute facts. Like, you cannot tell any fibs or misrepresent yourself in any way, because that's disqualifying. And so then Franken goes into his submission.
That you personally handled are 3 voting rights cases and a desegregation case. Last week, I should note 3 attorneys who worked at DOJ and who actually brought 3 of the 4 cases wrote an op-ed piece in which they say, quote, we can state categorically that Sessions had no substantive involvement in any of them. Now, you originally said that you personally handled 3 of these cases, but these lawyers say that you had no substantive involvement. Chairman Grassley, I would ask that op-ed from last Tuesday's Washington Post be entered into the record.
Without objection, it will be entered.
Are they distorting your record here?
Yes. In fact, one of the writers there, Mr. Hebert, spent a good bit of time in my office. He said I supported him in all the cases he brought, that I was more supportive than almost any other U.S. attorney, and that I provided office space. I signed the complaints that he brought. And as you know, Senator Franken, when a lawyer signs a complaint, he's required to affirm that he believes in that complaint and supports that complaint and supports that legal action, which I did. We sued.
So that's your personal involvement? Was that your name was on it?
Well, look, you can dispute the impact or the import of the questionnaire. Another attorney, who Paul Hancock, who brought cases in our district, said, well, the Attorney General claims credit for the cases in the Department of Justice. He saw nothing wrong with my claiming that this was a case that I had handled.
Okay, two of the...
So you can disagree with that, but those
I want to get through this, and I don't want you to...
On the,
I want to get through
on
this.
On the docket sheet, my name is listed number one on the as okay, the attorney well, for the case.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm one of the few members of this committee who didn't go to law school, and usually I get by just fine, but it seems to me that a lawyer, if a lawyer has just his name added to a document here or a filing there, that lawyer would be misrepresenting his record if he said he was personally handled these cases. Two of the lawyers who wrote the op-ed have also submitted testimony for today's hearing, Mr. Jerry Hebert and Mr. Joe Rich. Mr. Hebert says, quote, litigated personally two of the four cases you listed. He said, I can state with absolute certainty that Mr. Sessions did not participate personally in either. Mr. Rich worked on one of the four cases you listed. He said, quote, I never met him at that time nor any other time, and he had no input to the case. These represent three of the four cases that you claimed that were among the top 10 cases that you personally handled.
Now, Sessions sort of like meanders and he sort of backs off, but I can tell you, he was rather unhappy. I mean, one of the cases, of the top 10 cases that he said he ever personally handled, he never met the lawyer who was handling it. He never saw the lawyer who was handling it. And they all attested. And the lawyer that supposedly said those good things about Sessions had to say so in a public testimony under pressure of being part of his office. So Jeff Sessions on record as a liar. But let's move on, aside from, let's not get too meta about his, I mean, the reason why, of course, Jeff Sessions is trying to pretend like he was involved in civil rights litigation because he has such a bad record on it that he has to fabricate one. Then Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is also a former U.S. attorney himself, which is what Jeff Sessions was. Sheldon Whitehouse wants to get a sense of Jeff Sessions, just how theocratic he would make the government. Here is Whitehouse asking Sessions about the judgment of employees who are not, I'm not using Session, I mean White House's words, but reborn Christians.
And I think you should respect them.
Does a secular
I would do that?
Does a secular attorney have anything to fear from an Attorney General Sessions in the Department of Justice?
Well, no. And I use that word in the 90,000 foot level of a little concern I have that we as a nation, I believe, are reaching a level in which truth is not sufficiently respected, that the very ideal, the idea of truth is not believed to be real, and that all of life is just a matter of your perspective and my perspective, which I think is contrary to the American heritage. So that's just a kind of a criticism of man. But we are not a theocracy. Nobody should be required to believe anything. I share Thomas Jefferson's words on the memorial over here. I swear eternal hostility over any domination of the mind of man. And I think we should respect people's views and not demand any kind of religious test for holding office.
And a secular person has just as good a claim to understanding the truth as a person who is religious, correct?
Well, I'm not sure. In what method? Is it less a objectively that, committed to...
The methods that an attorney would bring to bear.
Well, let me just say, we're going to treat anybody with different views fairly and objectively. And the ideal of truth and trying to achieve the right solution to me is an important goal of the American jurisprudential system.
So there you have it.
Yeah, it's almost like we live in a post-truth world.
Right.
Where one political party lies as a matter of not only strategies, basic existential posture.
And White House here is trying to make it pretty narrow. I mean, you can go and believe that this secular person is not going to have the truth outside of being an attorney. But in the world of the attorney, an attorney, in terms of the law of the country, you don't think secular people have access to the truth in the same way? He's literally saying, on one hand, we're not going to have a theocracy. But when it comes to our laws and assessing our laws,
well, it's like
it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of Jesus juice.
Well, it's like in Iran, you know, you have a guardian council that just vets candidates. It's not like you got to be a particular version of Shia Islam, but you need to, you know,
yeah,
need to
hurt.
Be in the strike zone. Not a bad idea to be in the strike zone, guys.
The Iranians have a little thing they call a guardian council. And as much as I think we should nuke those hummus-eating Arab sons of bitches off Earth, I think we ought to also adopt some of their governing methods.
It's funny. You don't look Druish.
The way that Sessions said people with other views.
Different views.
With different views was clearly, it wasn't like all the different views. It was, here's
no,
the
I've
right
got the
one,
normal view.
The normal view.
And everybody else got the weird view. Well, not everybody else. The seculars.
You got all sorts of views. You got people who will let a Puerto Rican date your daughter. Whoa, should not have said that out loud. See, I'm a member of a certain secret society. I don't think I need to go into any great detail.
I don't believe in putting blinders on. I believe in cutting little holes out so I can see.
Just have a little bit of a focused view, if you will, on the matter.
Don't By try the way, to put any of that cotton over my eyes. The 400 thread count cotton, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, very clever, Mr. Franken. As is typical of your people that have polluted the minds of the simple folk of this great country.
All right, and
they have every brand of racist represented in this cabinet. They have like outer borough queens, like, hey, get off my fucking lawn, you mooly. And now they've got literally like
bringing people together.
Yeah,
bringing people together. Patrick Leahy had an exchange with Sessions that was pretty subtle about his perspective on states that have marijuana and or that use marijuana. You can keep that one up. Leahy asked him about this, and Sessions basically said, well, I'm not going to not uphold the law. This is exactly what he said. He said, I won't commit to never enforcing federal law, but it's a problem of resources for the federal government. This is when he's asked about the Obama administration Justice Department decision to look the other way with respect to federal pot law enforcement in the legalizing states as a resource decision. So he said, that made sense, but I won't commit to never enforcing federal law. But absolutely, it's a problem of resources for the federal government. So in other words, if we get more resources to shut down legalization in the states, we will. Now, of course, this is a huge states' rights guy, but that's more about questions about commingling and questions about, like, who gets to sit at a counter, for example, or whether or not we should have mixtures in schools that are perhaps, you know,
maybe they're different fountains that people drink out of. Yeah. Just spitballing here.
That is where real states' rights come in. When it comes to smoking marijuana, no. Nah, it's more of a resources question.
Mr. Chairman, can I take a moment to tell you about how personally upset I was when I found out that members of a certain organization committed to our way of life may have been indulging in smoking the Negro's devil stick? It was one of the most upsetting moments of my life.
Horrible, horrible time for me. But here is, fun part of Senator Patrick Leahy asking, because, you know, at the time when the Billy Budd Donald Trump tape came out, Jeff Sessions had said something to the effect of, like, well, you know, it's a little bit too pushy, maybe a little bit more impolite. It's not something you would do at a, let's say, a debutante ball or what are the southern balls they have? They're debutante, but there's like a Maisie Daisy ball or whatever the heck it was. I don't know.
Auction, post slave purchasing party.
But
I will say this:
Senator Sessions seems to have changed his tune a little bit. Here he is with Patrick Leahy, who. I don't think he says the word pussy. I think he says genitalia, which is also not the word that Donald Trump used. But
grabbing a woman by her genitals without consent, is that sexual assault?
Clearly, it would be.
Thank you. If a sitting president or any other high federal official was accused of committing what the president-elect described in a context in which it could be federally prosecuted, would you be able to prosecute and investigate?
The president is subject to certain lawful restrictions, and they would be required to be applied by the appropriate law enforcement official if appropriate, yes.
And the conduct described, based on the description, would be sexual assault?
Well, the confusion about the question was a hypothetical question, and it related to what was said on the tape. I did not remember at the time whether this was suggested to be an unaccepted, unwanted meet the definition. If that's what the tape said, then that would be...
My question is very simple. Is grabbing a woman by her genitals without consent, is that sexual assault?
Yes.
Thank you.
I love the fact that the nominated attorney general has to answer that question. That's basically just Senator Leahy saying, going like, so good for you. Look who you're working for, you.
Yeah. That was pure shade. I like where he's like, well, you know, Senator, maybe we could get more philosophical here. What part of the country is the woman from, as an example? My president was often dealing with northern women who are notoriously dirty, easy, and cheap. Our women down in these parts are a bit more refined. And that is not even to mention the racial backgrounds. Did I say that out loud?
All right,
see, I'm a member of a certain organization. I'd also like to remind everyone that I did at one time prosecute a couple of Klansmen who murdered a child. So if that doesn't just sing anti-racist to you, I don't know what does. Dylan, what was like it?
One more note on the Sessions hearing. This is actually didn't happen in the hearing. It was reported out. It was reported first, I think, by BuzzFeed. that Coretta Scott King had written a letter opposing Jeff Sessions' ascension to the federal judiciary in 1986. And it was a story because no one could find record of the letter. It was sent to the committee, but apparently Strom Thurmond decided not to put it into the record. Pretended that she never sent the letter. But the Washington Post ended up getting it. It's a nine-page letter. So it has a lot of reasons. But let me read a little bit from the front cover page. Anyone who has used the power of his office as United States attorney to intimidate and chill the free exercise of the ballot by citizens should not be elevated to our courts. Mr. Sessions has used the awesome powers of his office. Remember, he was the U.S. attorney in Alabama. Mr. Sessions has used the awesome powers of his office in a shabby attempt to intimidate and frighten elderly black voters. For this reprehensible conduct, he should not be rewarded with a federal judgeship. I'm obviously not going to put words into Coretta Scott King's mouth, but I imagine she would also feel that he shouldn't be rewarded with the attorney general slot. She wrote, his ascension to the federal bench simply cannot be allowed to happen. Saying that he pursued politically motivated voting fraud prosecutions, saying he lacked the temperament, fairness, and judgment to be a federal judge. And his conduct in prosecuting civil rights leaders raises serious questions about his commitment to the protection of voting rights of all American citizens. The irony of Mr. Sessions' nomination is that if confirmed, he will be given life tenure for doing with a federal prosecution what the local sheriffs accomplished 20 years ago with clubs and cattle prods. I believe his confirmation would have a devastating effect not only on the judicial system in Alabama, but also on the progress we've made toward fulfilling my husband's dream. That's pretty serious.
It's damning.
Chuck Grassley had not previously released a letter, which committee rules grant him the sole authority to reveal. But it was never entered into the congressional record by Strom Thurmond back in the day. All right, we're going to take a break, folks. Head into the fun half, wherein we'll hear Seth Meyers call out Kellyanne Conway for dodging a question. We'll take a clip from Obama's farewell speech in exchange with a Trump advisor who says, yeah, just ignore the stuff you don't like. And we'll play a clip, an AP interview with Bobby Kennedy, leaving Trump Tower. I will talk about this. Obviously, Bobby Kennedy is a co-host on Ring of Fire Radio. He's not there every week, but we consider him a co-host. And certainly Bobby and I have had arguments over this. I have not spoken to him about the latest thing, but we will talk about that. And then we have two clips from Donald Trump's press conference that I found pretty stunning. We'll take a quick break. 646-257-3920. Look, tomorrow, I'm not sure what we're going to do for a show. I mean, we're obviously going to have a show. I just still can't decide whether or not we're going to be. We're just flooded with news. It's like literally like drinking from a firehouse. I mean, I haven't talked about what we know about the Affordable Care Act at this point. This new ethics rules, Supreme Court halting the North Carolina special election, perhaps Chelsea Manning will have her sentence commuted. I mean, I can't
that would be amazing.
Think of anything better for...
Do you really think he might actually do that?
I think he might.
I would also like to put in a word, and I know that it's probably, you know, it's not on the top of most people's dockets, but maybe we get to it at some point. A prosecutor involved in the case of Leonard Peltier actually came out, I believe it was a while ago, maybe even over the break, saying that he should be commuted as well.
Really?
And that has been around. I mean, he's been in jail for what, like since the 80s yes. at least? I mean, I really think that that's another thing that he ought to look very seriously at doing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920. Support the show by becoming a member. Join themajorityreport.com. You can gift the show to somebody. What a nice little gift. $10. Buy them a month. Buy them 6 months. Buy them 12 months. Also, leave a review for us on iTunes. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. Also, don't forget MajorityReportKickback.com. Head over there. Click on the link, the Jet.com or the Amazon.com link. Buy a crap through that link. You can bookmark it. We get a kickback. See you in the fun half. We are back. Oh, I forgot to do this mid-roll. We'll have to cut it in. Hey, don't forget, although his campaign may be over, for Bernie Sanders, the political revolution has just begun. Follow along as Sanders spins lessons about what really matters in life, according to the Washington Post. And his multi-month New York Times bestseller, Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. For more information, visit OurRevolutionBook.com, hashtag ReadTheBurn, B-E-R-N. Again, that's OurRevolutionBook.com. I am so excited to get an ad from, I mean, so excited.
And it's amazing because if you had not shilled so hard, Bernie would be president right now. You shilled for my wife, everyone on the team. You and Michael were so arrogant, you didn't read the tea leaves. Now you got Trump, which might be the best we could ask for.